Blog Talk Radio.
Here in this moment in time, we search for wonders, for miracles and signs, something to satisfy the hunger in us all. A human rage from deep within the soul, like a machine in pursuit. On the horizon like a raging fire we move, driven by questions in an endless search for truth. There is a stirring in us, a great awakening begins. I believe there's a mighty power, I believe it's a battle rain, I believe there's a move of God calling us all.
And welcome to your place. I'm Starla, and tonight we'll be sharing with you about perception. We want to thank you all for being with us again this week. We want to talk about a subject tonight that affects all of us. Our perception of things can be right, wrong, or a little of both. But when do we know the difference? I guess with all of the information at our disposal today, we have to always wonder what we base our perceptions on. Do we know the source of what we base our perceptions on? If not, we are taking a chance to base and balance our way of doing things on something false. Should be a great topic tonight, and we hope that many of you can take the time to be with us live again this week. And now, without further ado, here's our host, Wild Bill.
Well, hello, Stella. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great.
Well, that's always good to hear. As we say in our house, if mom ain't happy, nobody's happy. So I'm always glad to hear that you're doing well. You know, it's really funny when you get to talking about the thing of perception. We recently had something happen. We had the one of the largest televised events in sports, and that is the Super Bowl. And I didn't watch it this year. And one of the second biggest things that's known about the Super Bowl is the advertising. And the third largest thing about the Super Bowl is the halftime show. And it's so funny, I didn't watch any of it. I did go to the internet to look at some of the commercials and everything. But I have a lot of people that friend me on Facebook that are in ministry in some fashion or another, and a lot of people that are involved with a lot of different churches. And it's amazing all the different things that was posted by those people about this halftime show. And I thought, now I can understand being a little concerned about something that, you know, was going on that, from what I understand, it was sort of something satanic or something like that. I don't really know. But there again, this is based on a perception from people that I would bet that probably 90% of them didn't realize by putting all that information on the internet that they were putting there. It made a lot of people go look at it that would have never seen it in the first place. It would have never came up on their radar. And it blows the mind sometimes of how we get a certain perception of reality, how we got to go defend something that a lot of times all we're doing is adding fuel to the fire. And that goes so strongly to the concept of perception. We think we cannot let this evil go unspoken of. We got to stand up and say, hey, this is wrong. And sometimes it wouldn't hurt for us just to keep our mouth shut. You know, who's made us the police of everything that's going on in the world? You know, how many times do we stop and look in a mirror every day and think about what we did the day before, what we said, how we lived our life the day before? Did we use every opportunity we could to be a witness? Did we finally get to that place where we loved our neighbor as ourselves? Are we at that place where we could fully lay down our life for another, you know, in love? Or have we reached that point yet before we start going out here and start throwing rocks and advertising for something that we didn't agree with? And there again, that all has to do with perception, and it's a mighty thing. I got a friend that's on Facebook. Her father was my boss, my friend, sort of a mentor to me at a time in my life where I was going through a lot of transition, and he was murdered. And, you know, it was a horrible thing. And they have a cold case file on Facebook that they're working on this. And as some of you have heard, one of his sons was involved and is being tried for a murder of a stepfather now. And all these things are coming up, and somebody was posting things from the crime scene information. They were talking about the trajectory of the bullets and how it went here and what bullet struck the body where and all these things. And, you know, in their mind, I'm sure they thought that they were helping, but their perception was based on they're very analytical. They worked with crime scene investigations and things before, and they thought by detailing this information they were helping. But as my children used to say sometimes, words hurt, Missy. This is the daughter of the man whose father, you know, she's lost him. He's gone. He's not coming back. You know, whether family's involved or not, that doesn't matter. But to take an old wound like that, the person wasn't thinking in what they were processing, what they were putting out publicly, you know, to this daughter and to other people. And I'm sure their heart was in the right place. But there again, it talks about perception. You know, your perception can be based on what you feel, what you know, what you think you know, even. Yeah, and, you know, we live in a time to where people make heroes out of people You know, how many people, you know, think they can sing a little bit and think, wow, I hope someday I can be a professional singer and I can go out there and I can be in the spotlight and I can be the ones that people are applauding and I can make the big money and everything. And I can have the big house and the cars and all those things. I can have it all. You know, they see that in perception from being below that as being something to attain that's going to answer everything that they need in their life. And it's funny, I'm going to play, if I can get this to work, I'm going to play a little song for you here of somebody else that sort of thought that, and you can sort of stop and think a little bit what happened to their life. I think we all know who that was, and that song I think was actually released after he was found dead from what was an overdose of prescription drugs. And you know, just the point I'm trying to make here is perception of things don't have to be based on things going right now. We can base things on perception as to where we're going in our life. And if we put too much foundation on those things, we have a chance of crashing down as the man that built his house upon the sand, as to the man that built his house on the rock. And you would think, you know, with Elvis Presley, that a lot of people would have got the big picture, especially people in the music industry. And, but, you know, I heard someone say a long time ago that sin is one of those things that takes you a lot further down the road than you ever intended to go. It's a slippery slope, but once you step on it, it's one of those things that you're no longer in control. You're entertaining things that you were never meant to entertain. You are, all of a sudden, you can't go back and be the innocent anymore from the things that weren't done before. It changes everything in your life as to what you are and who you are. And, you know, you can look at the things of all the cars and the houses and everything, but look at the tragic ending of what happened. And then turn around and look at Michael Jackson. You know, as far as talent goes, that young man, as a small child, had a way of just mesmerizing people with the way he just got up and sang on the stage. And we've all heard the stories of how he had the lost childhood and the price that had to be paid for him to get where he was. And we don't know what happened as far as the criminal offenses, if it was true, if it wasn't true. It's not our place to judge those things. But it was there just to say. He had to contend with those things either way. It didn't really matter. All the millions of dollars that was spent, all the good things that would have been undone in just a few moments of someone saying something negative. whether it was for financial gain or what, it didn't matter because it did damage whether he wanted it to or not. And then just recently we had Miss Whitney Houston, and I'm trying to think what year it was, and I think I actually have this here. They say one of the hardest things for a musician to do is either go to a NASCAR racetrack or to go to a football stadium and try to sing the national anthem. And it seems like it's a super easy song to do, but I know it was in 1991 that Whitney Houston did that, and she set the bar so high that I don't think nobody could ever achieve what she did in singing that song. It's just one of those things that just blows you away, the talent she had. We just saw recently where a woman who has one of the most extensive ranges in her voice and music that any of us have ever seen, how she got lost and butchered the song so bad last year at the Super Bowl. It was just, people were just couldn't believe that she couldn't get it out, that it was there. But yet you got someone like Whitney Houston, had all this talent, had this background of being brought up in church, had family that were in the music industry. And some people talked at her funeral about the thing that she always was afraid that it wasn't good enough. She was always thinking that she was just a little shy of the mark. And that's one of those things that we all have self-doubts. And you know, you would think when we reached the pinnacle, I mean, she was, you know, the queen of pop. I mean, she had earned the title. I mean, her voice was something unique. The song she sang, she took an old country song that Dolly Parton's and put it at the top of the charts for I don't remember how many weeks. And one of my fondest memories is one of the times that Billy and James had got to come spend time with me, and they were singing that song in the back of the car, or attempting to, with Whitney Houston on the radio. And it was just a voice that was dynamic. It was pure and it was clean. And yet drugs, you know, came in. And you know, we all know the story of what drugs can do, how it doesn't really amplify things that are good like you think it does. It takes you down a road of, you know, despair. It's like the rabbit hole from Alice in Wonderland, to where you cannot win. It's not something you come back from, and, you know, you're just, everything's okay. And that's where we were talking before about sin takes you further down the road. But there's one thing that we do know for sure. If we base our perceptions on fact, we have a pretty good chance of basing things on something that are proper and right. And you know, we were talking about earlier, Starlin and I, on something, you know, is that based on this or is that based on that, talking about history, and we were actually talking about the book and the story of Seabiscuit, and it was back during the time of the Depression, and, you know, there was a story that came out years later about Secretariat. She's like, well, isn't it sort of the same thing? But Seabiscuit was a horse that raced during the time of the Depression when people were starving to death and the stock market had crashed, and there were still some people that had wealth, and then there was people who were without anything. They were just totally without food for their families. People were actually starving to death. It was just a horrible time. Blacktop Mama has talked about that before. And there wasn't a whole lot going on that people could be excited about. This little horse that was smaller than most of the other horses was going out there, and it wasn't part of the major stables that was always winning races, and it was winning. And it was the whole matchup of the people involved in the whole thing was so unique. And so you think, you know, well, a lot of, and I'm saying it to say this, there's a lot of things you can say, well, I've read this in the Bible, or I heard this at a church or something like that, or I know this as a scientific fact or things. But a lot of things you can take out of context of time and not realize that it was based on something a little different then than what it fits into today. And so when you try to base your perception on that, you can find yourself on a very dangerous slope of where you're constantly, if you're not careful, judging people that you're not meant to be judging. You know, it's just, if my perception is that I'm right and your perception is that you're right, and so we're going against each other, bumping heads, so to speak, to try to prove the other wrong, as long as we're basing what we're arguing about on our own perceptions, neither party is going to come out with a solution that they're both going to be happy with. You're always going to think, well, I'm right and he's wrong. And he's going to think, well, you're right and I'm wrong. And it's based on something that has no fact to it whatsoever. And I can give you an example that this is kind of funny now. It wasn't really funny at the time when Starla brought it to my attention. I friend just about everybody on Facebook that sends me a question to be their friend or an invitation. I'm not even sure what you call that you get the little thing on the squares. But so there's a new thing on Facebook now that scrolls along the right side of your screen. And mine moves all the time. And there's times I get downstairs and I don't have my glasses with me, so I can sort of see a blur. I can see the print pretty good sometimes. There's little pictures. And there was someone who used to go to our church, and it said someone had changed something on a picture or something like that. And so I just reached over and clicked like, and there was a young lady in our church that said something about a new best friend or something. I clicked, made a comment on it, didn't really pay attention. And so a couple hours later, I'm upstairs, and Starla's doing something on that laptop. And she says, "You like this picture, huh?" And I've never seen that picture before. And it had a picture of a woman that was made up and barely dressed and everything. I'm like, "I've never seen that." And she's like, "Well, it says right here you like that picture." And of course, I was looking at the computer from the side, so I couldn't really see it. And so when she turned it to where I could see the full picture, for one thing, I was shocked. I was like, "Wow, how in the world did I?" And then it dawned on me. That was that little thing scrolling down the side that had a little bitty pictures on there about the size of the end of your thumb. I didn't see what it was. I saw the name and just click like. And so just that easy, the perception of people that know me could be like, "Oh, Brother Bill has backslid. He's up there saying he likes pictures of half-naked women on the Internet." Or you could say, "Hey, I know Brother Bill. This is probably some crazy thing that something happened on," based on the perception of how they know me. But the whole thing is that it could be either way. There's not anything I could say to those that know me and like you know, and think it's funny that I did something like that, to go to the other people who don't know me that well and all of a sudden just want to be judgmental. There's not anything I could say to change their perception of me. There's not anything I could undo. Matter of fact, I was laughing with Starla. I went to the picture and I clicked on to unlike, and so where it had said that Bill likes this picture, all of a sudden it says Bill dislikes this picture. I'm like, "Oh my God, I didn't mean to do that either," you know. So you sort of get yourself in a non-win situation on some of these things sometimes, which there again, it goes back to something my grandpa used to say, that you need to look before you leap. And I need to bring my glasses downstairs before I make comments on things that I don't see the big picture of what it is. And that's just one of those things. You can see the small picture. You can see a portion of something sometimes and see nothing wrong with it. But there's a bigger picture out there, and that's one of the things that grabs me with church and politics. Automatically, because one party claims that they are the ones of people of faith, you've got to go with this party, and then you look at the individuals, what they stand for and what they do and what they say, and people try to tell me these people have the mind of God, and I'm like, "Wow, I truly understand what God said. Give unto Caesar what is Caesar, and give unto God what is God." Yeah, there's government, there's politics. I say vote your conscience, vote your heart. But you're always only going to see a small portion of the picture. We had a friend that works in Washington that said if you knew what these people said behind closed doors about the people of faith and everything, you know, you would just cringe inside. You just couldn't believe some of the comments that was made. And so it goes back to perception versus reality. I've seen lawyers screaming at each other in a courtroom in front of a judge, and you would think they hated each other. And the judge called recess, and they go back in the back, and because I was in law enforcement, I'd get to go back there, and you hear them laughing about the big show they just put on there in the front and talking about when their next tee time was to go play golf, where when they came back out, and the judge sort of reprimanded everybody a little bit. They didn't know that they just, you know, planned their next golf game back in the back and thought the whole thing was hilarious as they were going through the motions of what they had to do. And so, you know, your perception is important, but you need to be very careful what you base it on. I can't believe Blog Talk Mom hasn't come in here yet with some scriptures for me on this. I didn't call her or say anything, but the one that jumps to mind is where the Bible talks about that in every man's mind he's right, in which I'm tearing that scripture all apart. What is that scripture? How does it go, Blog Talk Mom? Is she on here?
Are we there?
You, Blog Talk?
Right. Yep. Every man's ways are right in their own eyes. We know that we're right. We understand. We think we understand. Anyway, there's another scripture in Isaiah 55:8-9, and I read this today. The Bible says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." You know, we perceive things, but there's no way that we're going to see the big picture. Only God knows the thought, the intent. You know, he knows how to separate the thought from the intent. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So I think it's really good what you're saying, that if we're aware of that, we're going to be more prayerful. And, you know, I want to share something funny. A friend of mine on Facebook had put something on there, and she had, was walking out of the bathroom at Walmart, and this man walked in, and, you know, he turned around real quick and was mumbling, I'm sorry, I come the wrong. And she thought, yeah, you sure did. And then she looked and saw the urinal and realized she was the one that was in the wrong bathroom. Many people have done that. And almost always, when you first see someone come in, you judge that person as an idiot and they've come in the wrong bathroom. And then you realize, no, you're the idiot. You know, or whatever, you know. But that's a real good illustration, on perception. We perceive what we think is right, what we think is are the facts, and that might not be it at all.
Yeah, we can only see the portion of what we see. And there again, politics is a perfect example. You know, because I work for organized labor, I understand that small portion of how labor works, what it means to have a job to where they pay you for everything that you do. And I also understand what it's like to have representation to go up there and negotiate your contract with you for a company and hold your feet to the fire to make them do it. Because now I'm working for a job that has none of those things, and I'm working twice as many hours for half the pay of what I was making before. And so, you know, there is a need for things like that. But, you know, the government, you know, different parties and different things have different thoughts on that. You know, some of them are more pro-business, where others are more pro-labor. You know, I got so tickled in Starla's family, there's a lot of people that are school teachers. And so when I used to bring this up about organized labor, and it was funny, they didn't, you know, call them thugs, but they were talking about Teamsters being crooks and everything like that, and, you know, that it wasn't a good thing. And all of a sudden now, the federal government and the state governments are going against teachers to make it to where they can't have organized unions to represent them in states. And all of a sudden, it's like they understand. Their perception has changed as what it is to be like on the other end of it, to where all of a sudden the government's, you know, not standing up for you, is standing against you on a principle or something. And so it's funny a lot. We base everything, and this is awful to say, but we base it on self. And the other part of being self is selfish. And we've become a country. When I was a boy, where we lived in North Little Rock, Arkansas, I knew everybody that lived on our block. Everybody. There was people I carried their trash cans out for them to make a little extra money. I knew everybody's dogs that lived on our street. I knew who had the kids and who didn't. And here I live in a place now where I've got, you know, we live in a pretty nice neighborhood. And I don't know hardly anybody here. Of course, Starla says I got like Alzheimer's or something when it comes to names anyway. I've met a few of our neighbors. I'm like, this guy over here and that woman over there. But, you know, it's not one of those things to where, you know, you may have one or two, you know, close friends in your neighborhood, but it's not like what it used to be. And it's because people have gotten so busy. There's so much entertainment available now that takes away from actually living life. And then there's so many things to do. You know, used to everything shut up at dark. Now it's a 24/7 world. You know, anything you want to do, from anything religious to anything entertainment to anything of sin, it's there at your just push of a button, beck and call. I think we have someone on here, don't we? Start us raised her hand.
Yes, we do. Caller 1139. You're on the air.
Hey, good evening. My name is Hugh. I'm in Virginia.
How you doing, Hugh?
I'm doing very well. I was enjoying the conversation, and you're right on. I'm working on solutions. I'm a solution-oriented person, and there are things that aren't even being talked about or considered or taking actions upon that can bring us a better world if we just learn how to change our thinking patterns, interact with existing technologies and with each other in caring, sharing ways.
So what are the things that you do on that?
Well, I'll share my name, and you can see some things on the Internet, if I may, and then I'll
sure.
tell you some things. Yeah, my name is Hugh, H-U-G-H. last name is Traulsen, T like Tom, R-A-U-L-S-E-N as in Nancy. You'll see a blog, creativity777.com. On that blog is actually a letter from President Obama to me related to the economy. There's also a very powerful little poem titled Caring Sharing, which is in the President Ronald Reagan Library, discussed as a weapon against terrorism in the interview that can be downloaded from the blog. And currently I'm using that little poem to help the people of Haiti who can't help themselves. It's only three lines long. It's titled Caring Sharing. It reads, if you dare to care, then share. If you share, pay heed. God will reward every good deed. It sort of sums up what life should be all about. And when you were touching upon all the distractions and entertainment, that's exactly what has happened. And what people have lost sight of is that we are all spiritual beings. We came here from the spirit realm. We're here playing a physical game for a short time. Even if it's 100 years, that's a short time in terms of eternity. And we're going to go back into the spirit world eventually. You can't take the toys with us. So we have to learn what we're here for. I believe the bottom line in everything is unconditional love. And we have the technologies in place to really stop all wars, to get into our communities, drop the racial baloney, interact and learn from each other. And if there's a disaster, you may have to depend on your neighbor and vice versa. So come on out and let's just find who's who. And so it starts in the communities, grassroots right there. And that's why we're in the state that we're in now, because we've allowed these crooks to get into office. And the only thing to do is not to fight it, because the law of attraction is simple and basic. If you are going to fight it, it's going to fight you back even more. So love is the answer again. I say laugh and love the ones that are in office out and love the right ones in. But when you do that, every time you come into contact with any politician, keep hammering the same question at them. Say, don't tell me what you can do for me once you're elected. You tell me today, right here and now, what you can do for this community, for the state, and for the country. The people have the answers. The politicians can get the best answers from the people, and the ones that present them in the best way should be elected. They're kept under the microscope. If they don't do what they're put in there for, they're right out of there. The 40, 50-year politicians are finished. You'll never see that ever again. So I hope they get them all out of there. Shame on every single one of them, because they're not doing the will of the people. And the greatest asset of any country is its people. So we have to begin to unite and network and look back at the elites that are jerking us all over the place, follow the money, and just start realizing some things. That every day you purchase a product, that's like election day. You're casting a vote for the manufacturer of that product. So if you want lead-based painted toys at a Walmart for your kids, that's what you'll get. Spend a buck or two more, buy American or from another source that is good in quality, and you'll be putting it where it should be put for the best benefit of all. I'm working on strategies that will bring transparency to government, business, and straighten out the mainstream media, which is, again, bought and sold. It's the big government, big business, and mainstream media are all in cahoots, and they'd love to shut down the internet if they could, but they need it to spy on us. So we have the chance to look now back at who's jerking us around and why. And when we do that, then we'll find just how rampant the corruption is. But if we don't root it out, we're lost. So we can.
Well, I got a question for you, because
sure. Uh-huh.
Everything you said here is good, but the problem with the whole thing is, and we could go back again, is everyone thinks that they have their own right answer. Like, for instance, Walmart. I mean, there were specials that's been on television talking about Walmart, how corrupt it is, what it does when it goes into town, how it runs small businesses out. the way things are manufactured, how they go to companies and, you know, say you're going to make it for this price or you don't get our business, and so the quality of products drop and everything. This has all been televised. This has all been put out, but yet it's still growing faster than any other store out there.
Well,
so it's not that it's ignorance of what's going on. It's you can't get people to agree. To them, it's the bottom line is price.
Well, they're starting to look at stuff, but they don't know how to put it all together. And I have it together. So what you do is you start looking at companies and what they represent and how they conduct business. Are they transparent? Are they benefiting their employees, their customers, the environment, and the community? Those are the questions that have to be looked at and addressed. And when people start doing that and they start seeing the companies that are corrupt and aren't doing the right thing and are greedy, they're not going to buy from those companies. And if there's an interesting book that will help you with understanding what's happening, because the old paradigm of control is breaking down rapidly. So it's not about owning everything and controlling everything. The new operative word is collaboration. And with the internet, you can have a stake in 10,000 companies at 10% as opposed to one company that's a multi-billion dollar company that isn't doing the right thing by society. There's a book called The Thank You Economy. It's all about social media. Gary Vanderchuk, I'm not sure the spelling of the last name, but it's very insightful. And things are moving at a rapid pace, and that's why, too, there's another book called Broker, Trader, Lawyer, Spy, written by Amon Javers. This book will give you some interesting things and wake people up. It's all about retired FBI, CIA, and Secret Service types that have formed little companies. They're in bed with their former enemies from the KGB. From their active duty years, they know how to tell if somebody's lying or telling the truth based on their interrogation techniques. Just on that simple concept, they've aligned themselves with these little companies, which are large corporations and hedge funds. It gives an example in the book of a hedge fund that paid one of these little companies a fee of $200,000 just to qualify certain information. Once that was accomplished, the hedge fund company shorted a stock and made $20 million. Maybe you'll understand a little bit better why the stocks go up and down a couple of hundred points in a day. These things may be legal. They're certainly not ethical and moral, but they're happening globally as we speak. So again, when people awaken and see, then they'll begin to understand who they're buying from and why, and following the money and rooting out the corruption to have a better world.
Well, I appreciate your call and your thoughts on this. I still think that the hard road to hoe on this is going to be to get people to change their perception enough to believe, because there are several things out there that's doing the same thing like you're talking about, trying to awaken people, trying to push them in certain directions to change the way they do business. And you're finding that there's been so many different things came out that people just don't trust hardly anything anymore. People have become very, they either don't care, they have their head stuck in the sand, or they're the people that just, they think they got an answer that's, you know, beyond working with anybody.
That's why
I've seen
standing
it with
in my truth, and it's what you want to make your world. You create your world. So if you want
to
put your head in the sand, you're going to go back into the spirit world. You're going to be accountable for everything you did. You want to make a better world for your grandchildren and the generations beyond that, then get out there and start doing something good. Otherwise, be ready to address when you go back into the spirit world just what the heck you did here, because you'll have to come back and learn maybe even a harder lesson the next time.
Yeah, I do believe, you know, talks about, you know, we talked at the first of the show about, you know, the Bible, you know, pretty much makes it clear, you know, that we're to love our neighbors ourselves. And that's one of those things that's easier said than done. It's the love concept is one of those things that we all grasp, but it's not one of those things that we put into action. And I want to thank you for your call, and I hope you call us again, and I hope you stay with us here. We're going to see if anybody else has some comments. Blog Talk Mom, did you have some comments on that? You're still with us.
Right. He had a lot of excellent points, and I will be going to his website. I hope I got that correct on the numbers, if you did not get it from me later. There's there's idealistic concepts. There's you're just so, like you said, you've got an excellent title for your program, because we all perceive things so from our own experiences and our own belief system. I was speaking to a person today that's a youth leader here in town, and they have children, 100-and-something children that are coming to their church. If the parents don't come and the parents don't care, the parents do not want to get involved, the parents are made up of, I'll say parents, I know some of the children that I worked with, there was 4 children by different fathers, and all of those fathers were in prison. And then the man that was the caregiver was not related to any of them. And you've got, you know, idealistic thoughts, you know, of everybody coming together, and we're all going to wake up one day and realize, you know, hey, we're playing the wrong person, we're dancing to the wrong tune. It's just idealistic to me. And I certainly don't believe that we're going to come back and get another chance, because it's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. Thank God we won't be going through this thing again. But I do believe.
Yeah, I do have questions sometimes where it talks about the new heaven and the new earth, and some of that kind of throws me off on the timeline and everything, but I don't really have to understand all that. And also, sir, if you wouldn't mind, we have a Facebook page called Your Place. If you could go on there and post a link to your blog page for us, for all of our listeners, that'll make it easier for them to find. Most of the people call all the time. They're aware of that site. And also, if you'd like to list those books again, it sounds like you have some very good titles there, and for people to do some research on that. So it's on Facebook. It's called Your Place. And you can tell because I think it's got a picture of Blog Talk Mom kicked back in a lounge chair, but it's also got links to our website, to our blog page and everything on there also, so you'll be able to tell what it is. But I do want people to be able to go back on that. The one thing that just keeps coming to mind with me is that, well, for instance, you know, I'm involved with this home-based business, and it's all about helping other people. And you'll go to people that are hurting financially, and you try to use the concept of showing them how you can take people working together and you can achieve great things. You're working for tier one companies out there, millions and billion dollar industries, that they're paying you for getting them customers. That's basically what it is. You know, you're not the store, you're not the banker, you're not the customer service, you're strictly directing people from them, and they're paying you for doing that for them. I mean, that's the bottom line of what it is that we do. You know, I don't care, you know, which products you use and which ones you don't, but if you use this one, I'd appreciate it, you know, if you get it through me. And it's basically simple. And but, you know, you try talking to people about that, and automatically walls start coming up. And it doesn't matter if you're talking about politics, walls come up. I've heard some of the strangest things that people have come up on politics. To, you know, I'm like, wow, you know, I'm not even going to try to go into it, because it baffles the mind. And then it's the same thing with the way business is handled. There has been so many books written and actually movies made of that talked about how the everything collapsed with Wall Street was actually generated by Wall Street. They had overinvested in certain top markets, realized what had happened, and the ones at the top sold out and let everything crash. I mean, it's documented what happened. They saved their bacon, they got their money while the money was still good, and left us holding the bag. And it's all about greed. And thank God there is some people out there that still care, that still, you know, look at it being, you know, their brother's keeper, to go out there and try to give to charities that try to help get people off the streets and make sure that there's people that's not going hungry and starving to death every day. There are people that, churches and organizations that have the heart to give, the heart to care for what's going on in this world, that love, as we were hearing earlier, that we've got to have. You know, it all starts with us. And a lot of people make fun of me for using Michael Jackson's song where it talked about man in the mirror, but if we all stop and take that one song and apply it to ourselves, put ourselves in that mirror and look at us. What have we done today? That speech that we played not long ago from the commencement exercise of my mind's going blank on what his name is, the man who died that had started Apple. Block Top Mom, can you remember what his name was? I'm drawing a blank. I guess Blog Talk Mom's drawing a blank too. She didn't even breathe on me. So, but anyway, you know, he was talking about living life every day. You know, he looked at, if this was my last day to live, you know, what have I accomplished today? You know, have I done everything I wanted to do? Is this one of those days I can be proud of what's done? He said 2 or 3 days where his answer was no. He knew he needed to change something. And that's what we all have to realize, is that we are all responsible for, number one, ourselves. And then it wouldn't hurt to try to take some responsibility and care and love for somebody else every day, to reach out in a way that maybe you haven't done before to help someone. And it could be just as simple as praying, you know, starting there, praying for yourself first, you know, making sure that you got everything right in your life, and then applying these same principles to pray for other people. You know, let them know that you care. Did you have a comment there, Starla?
Yeah, that would be Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs. I thought I was out here all alone for a minute. Nobody said anything. So, but that was awesome what he said, where he talked about that. And then we had the other speaker was talking about how that it's real funny. He used the illustration with the hound dogs that was laying on the porch, and this hound dog just yodeling, making this awful racket. And the farmer like, "What's wrong with your dog?" And the other farmer like, "Oh, nothing. He's just laying on a nail." And he's like, "Well, why don't he get up?" And like, "He will when it gets to hurting bad enough." And, you know, it makes it clear that there's only a couple things in life that move people. It's either going to be emotion or something. It's going to get just so uncomfortable, so unbearable, our situation, whatever we're in, that we're going to do something to change it. You know, it's but to, people don't plan to go out and just do good. I mean, I say that, I shouldn't say it so broad. There are some people that do, and there are some organizations that do. But as a whole, it seems like everything is set up about me. The people I meet, you know, they're worried about them. You know, I got this gas truck, 80,000-pound bomb going down the road, and I have people pass me because they don't want to be behind this truck, pull over in front of me and slow down because they're not sure where they're exiting, or they just got a phone call. And I'm like, wow. You know, what are they thinking about? And it's clear that their whole – everyone has this – when you're in a car, you think that that's just the world right there. That's right inside that car. That's you. You're occupying that space, and with the people sitting there and your cell phone or whatever's going on, and you forget there's a great big world out there of other people that's all trying to get to where they're going to. And what was it you used to say, Blog Talk Mama, about people shooting a hole in a boat?
Am I on? Because my phone's acting up.
No, I just asked you a question because I didn't want you to answer.
You do want me to answer. You were talking a while ago, and you couldn't hear me, so that's why I'm asking.
Oh, okay.
There were two men in a boat, and one of them said that he was going to shoot a hole in the bottom of the boat, and he said, "Don't matter to me, it's not my boat." You know, well, they're both going to drown, you know, there's
yeah.
both going up. But sometimes we think if it doesn't affect us, that it really doesn't matter. But everything, I like what Hugh said, we all have some type of effect on each other. We're all connected. We are spiritual beings. And you know, when God said that if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, what have you gained? And, that's our value system is going the wrong direction. But the Bible does give us a map, and we can pretty much fight and argue over what it says also, but that doesn't change. It is very, very perfect for what we need. Just like when God created the sun, he put it exactly where if it was any farther away, we'd freeze, any closer, we'd burn up. So the laws and the rules that he's given us will work if we'll use them, like you said. If we will use love, move away from greed. As far as selfishness is I agree, is terrible, but he said love others as we love ourselves. I think there's a wonderful balance in that also, you know, taking care of yourself, but really realizing what true values are and integrity and virtue. And this generation, because of so much media, it's like you got into a situation totally accidentally, like you shared with us earlier. If you were a politician and that got in the wrong hands, there's no telling what they could have done with that. And so I think we're really very naive sometimes in the things that we believe about people that are giving it all they've got. For one thing, people that think that one person in office is that powerful. And I would almost believe that they're a puppet for the powers that really are. And that's just a thought. I'm not saying that it's definitely a truth. I like the fact that people do come against each other in a positive way, because that makes us all aware of the different sides to an argument and, you know, different statistics, different viewpoints. I think that's very healthy. Don't you?
Yeah, the debate of politics I've always enjoyed, because it shows that they do care. It shows they're passionate about what they believe. But when it starts going down this party line politics, that's where it just really aggravates me. And that's where we've fallen into a lot here in the last few years. And it has to do with getting the financial backing from the organizations and things that they want. And it's almost become, well, I don't want to sound cynical, but it's become sad. It's almost like a circus. I got Sterla addicted. There was this series that came out, and it was based on the White House during the Clinton years, called West Wing. And it was based on what actually happens in the life with the staff and everything inside the White House, you know, and trying to get laws passed and all the deals that had to be made, and how they had to take something out, put something in, because they may be in power in the White House, but the other party may be in power on the Hill. And so you can't get anything passed. It's people on the Hill, you know, don't want you to get it passed, whatever your agenda is. And so there's so much give and take. And some of that, it was like in that book that Dad had me read a long time ago, and I'd give anything if I remember what that was. But it made it very clear it takes both sides to make this thing work. Because if you went too far one direction would not be good, or if you went too far the other direction would not be good. So it takes this checks and balance to go back and forth. But as Hugh sort of hinted here, there's money behind a lot of this. And as you said, with it being puppeteers, the power is no longer with the people. It's with the people that have the money. And that's the part that's made it sad. And as he said, the money they're spending belongs to us. It's money we spend. If we decide to quit spending money in these huge conglomerate companies, then guess what? They're not going to have the money to go out there and pay politicians to change the laws to make things better for them and worse for us. But there again, getting anybody to agree on anything, I've been at churches before where they were trying to decide where they have, you know, where they're going to go all eat after church. And you would think that, you know, that'd be real simple. You know, one person would say, well, hey, I'm like in the mood for this today, and, you know, I think we ought to go there. But you're going to have 10 people instantly say, well, I don't want to go there. We ate there yesterday or something, you know. It's not about the fellowship anymore. It's all of a sudden about my opinion, and what I want is just as important or more important than what you want. And with that concept in today's world, and I think a lot of it has to do with fear. You know, when you look around and you see Plants Clothing that's been around forever, Kodak filing bankruptcy, I mean, who would have thought? You know, there was times that they were the industry leader in making film and the processing of film and cameras and everything. They were the big dogs. And look now. Just because things changed, went into digital photography, which is something I found out that I couldn't believe they had actually invented, but they were making so much money on film, I didn't think everything would ever go that way. And so they got left behind, even though they hold patents on a lot of things that other companies do that's involved with digital printing and digital photography and things. So I was like, wow. One small mistake like that, thinking things weren't advanced that fast, that far, and look what it did to them. You know, just that quick. And it's the same with it. Nothing stands still. What is today's fad is gone tomorrow. And some things, unfortunately, come back. You look at some of the things. I look at some of the things I wore when I was a kid. I'm like, man, I can't believe some of those things are coming back in style. And some of those things I think will never come back in style. But it's amazing to how everything seemed to be a cycle to it. And I don't actually understand why. I think it has to do with, as you reach different ages, you realize things more. I understand more now about the importance of caring for other people and caring for our neighbors and being involved, and can really appreciate, you know, our friend Jane trying to step up to the plate and having a voice to be heard, you know, where she lives in Arkansas. And but it's one of those things that, where do you draw the line? Is there not some place in there where we need to just shut up? you know, and of course that's funny if you're sitting on a talk show talking about that, but I mean, as a group, you know, to go out there, like the thing with the Super Bowl, with whatever that was that Madonna did, that it was real funny. I started to go click on the links that everybody was sending to go look, and I thought, wow, I would have never looked at it, and here is people that's talking against this, posting these links up here on Facebook. And so now I'm tempted to go look at something and then make my own comments about it. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to play that game. I'm going to leave this one alone. But if it's, you know, we don't have to make a comment on everything that's going on out here in the world. But we've gotten so social with networking, with the internet and everything. I mean, there's some people, you can tell what time they get up in the morning. You can tell what kind of coffee they drink on the way to work. You can tell if their coffee place was closed. You can tell when they had to go to the bathroom for the first time during the day. I mean, it goes on and on and on with some of the people post and letting people know what their day's like. I'm like, wow. For one thing, I don't know how they get the time to do it. Of course, I'm one of those people that I almost need a magnifying glass with my cell phone to try to find the keys to send emails with my work that I have to do. So I'm sort of behind the times on some of that, I guess, as being older. But why? Why do we need to know all those things? You know, I remember when the National Enquirer came out, they said it's because inquiring minds want to know. And it had all these stupid things about somebody gave birth to an alien and all this alien abduction. And I don't remember what all was in there. And people were buying those things left. And if it was, you know it's garbage, but people were buying it to see what kind of garbage they had in there. And so they kept printing garbage. And so we give power to things when we do that. The same way we do with our perceptions. When we constantly take our perception and we put our perception on other people, no matter what our intent is in the process, we're taking our perception. It doesn't have to be based on facts of anything other than what we feel. Are we kind of taking this to a level that we're not supposed to take it? When you can take, we've got enough facts. We got the Bible. We can take the things just in the Bible, apply them to ourselves, and let our lives be a light to shine out to other people. And as people come to us that are attracted to the light that's shining from within us, hey, I want to know what's going on with your life. I want to know why you're smiling all the time. Who are you? You know, what's going on here? Then we can share what's not our perception. We can share our life with them. And there is a difference in the two. We've gotten so wrapped up in having to have an opinion on everything that's going on out here in this world because we're aware of everything going on, that we've gotten to where we're just a people of perception. We've kind of taken the facts and put them off on the back burner, and not, it's kind of like someone saying that, you know, we're so thankful for the things we have, or the blessings, but we forget who the blesser is. And it's, I feel like it's a dangerous road that we need to be aware of, especially people that claim to be Christians, that it's one of those slopes that sometimes we need to step back and say, I'm not going to play. I'm going to stay home today. I'm just not going to get involved in this. And that's just my view on that. And it's just, as I say many times, I don't have to be right. I'm not the final answer on this show. I just get to state what I say. And anyone who wants to raise their hand and say something different, they can. And I'm going to do something I don't usually do here. But, Joy Bells, what do you think about all this?
I don't know. I did. At some point, I thought about buzzing in just to say Obama's wonderful, but I decided not to. I was just afraid that might be getting unclear to any of our listeners, so wanted to put it
I
out
thought
there.
You might have went over and read the letter that the man that Hugh got while we was off. I thought, I bet she's done glanced over and see it. I'll plan on doing it later because I'm curious.
I think that you just judge someone and then right behind it said, don't judge. You said some people are just, why are they putting all that stuff on Facebook? There's no reason for them to be putting all that stuff on Facebook. You know, sometimes it's just, we're judging people. You're judging us people who love Facebook.
I'm not judging the people, but I mean, seriously, on that one concept right there, did you watch the Super Bowl?
No, I agreed with that part, but I just think that it doesn't necessarily mean that some people spend a ton of time on Facebook and don't write anything because they're going through there judging everybody. Some people, several times a day, check their Facebook and write something and like the things that they like me, for instance.
You like you?
That's right. And I do like seeing what people ate or what people did or whatever it is that people take the time to post. So there, I'm sensitive on this subject.
No, I think that's good. That's why I like both sides. That's why I thought that you would probably have a different opinion on that, and that's why I asked you to say something there towards the end. But the point I was trying to make was on the fact that most of these were people that are known in ministry that were posting all this about standing up against what happened at the halftime show, and they had links. I'm guessing it took you to where you could see what it was. I didn't click on any of them. But, you know, I'm like, wow, you're adding power to the message for people to go look at something that you're saying that shouldn't even been on the air in the first place. So that was the point I was making on that. You can sit there and, you know, sort of beat a dead horse, not meaning to. So I can't believe it, but this hour has flown by. I want to thank you for calling in. It's the first time he's been on our show, and everyone else is here with us. And for those that are consistently calling and are listening on the archives of the shows, seems like our numbers kind of fluctuate up and down, but they seem, you know, to be running about the same most of the time. So we appreciate that. And for those that can, I hope you was able to go to our Facebook page and post this blog site there, and we can go check in on that. And because I do believe that there can be, if people join together, that we can do some good. And, you know, like I've always said, you know, we got to start with us. And you know, the first person, the only person we really have control over in changing is ourselves. If we're willing to be open, listen to things that people have, that they do have facts, and realize we don't have all the answers, there's no telling what we might can do. So, all right, well, can't believe the time has flown by. Did you have anything else here before we sign off, Blog Talk Mom?
Yeah, I do. I really, really enjoyed the program. Again, that scripture that the Lord gave us, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and heed to God, and then God will hear and heal the land. So, I mean, it really, like you said, we can change ourselves. We can turn. We have control of that. And also on judging, like the people that, I appreciate what they did about on Facebook, because I would have never known, and I wanted to be aware. We can judge a situation without judging somebody's intent. You know, someone may have felt led to do that, you know, and might not have been wanting to really, you know, we can't really judge their intent. There's no way we can do that. And I like what you said about giving power to things. You know, there wouldn't be pornography if there wasn't a whole lot of people wanting to watch it. You know, there wouldn't be alcohol if there wasn't a whole lot of people wanting to drink it. The one time they tried to stop it, the bootleggers and the moonshiners, and you ought to read the history on that. It was gross. So anyway, this was an excellent program. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Well, thank you for being with us. And I do appreciate everyone that has different viewpoints on things. As I said before, I don't have to be the voice that's right. But if you want to say something different, you've got to raise your hand and put it on there, because this is your place, and we do care about what you have to say. And this is not one of those programs where we're going to drown you out or cut you off if we don't agree with what you say, as long as you keep it clean. We definitely don't. We, this is a family show, so we don't allow any cursing on here. If you get to doing that, then we'll write down your number and keep you from ever being able to call in again. But we do want it to be, you know, kept clean, but your opinion matters. And so that's what this is all about. So we pray God bless each and every one of you. We'll be back with you next week.